Regular listeners to the Foreign Desk will be aware that we are, as a program, well attuned to the possibilities of flag carrier airlines as tools of soft power. We did an entire show about it back in episode 238, which you can download as soon as you've finished listening to this explainer. As we discussed in that episode, there's a right way and a wrong way to go about using a national airline to create a good national impression. The key words are charm, confidence, and subtlety. Absolutely none of which are discernible in a new directive imposed upon cabin crew of the embattled National Airline of India. Air India crew have been told that, henceforth, they must end every in-flight announcement with the patriotic exclamation
Jai Hind,
which translates approximately as Hail the Motherland. The advisory accompanying this instruction stipulates that the phrase should be uttered after a slight pause and with much fervour. This is, obviously, every bit as mad and as silly as it sounds. It's equivalent to British Airways crew being compelled to end every safety briefing with Rule Britannia, although the other side of March 29th, nothing can be ruled out. It has been justly ridiculed on social media by thousands of Indians, observing that a lack of overt chauvinist zeal is among the very least of Air India's current problems. The airline is broke, with debts running into the billions, has been unable to attract a buyer and is not currently regarded as a paragon of in-flight service. Last year, one of its aircraft was discovered to be infested with bedbugs. The initiative is, however, tough to beat as a metaphor for the philosophy underpinning the politics of India's Prime Minister, Narendra Modi. We did a whole thing on him as well in episode 242, which you can download after you're done with episode 238. It is unclear whether Air India's new edict is a direct order from Modi, but at the very least, it will have been done in the assumption of Modi's approval, which is, of course, how leaders with authoritarian tendencies function in nominally democratic states. Modi is not the first national leader to have supposed that if he waves his country's flag vigorously enough, it will occlude the view of the country's actual problems and/or the responsibility of the country's rulers for them. But he is among the most enthusiastic modern proponents of the tactic. Also, on Modi's watch, Indian cinemas have been compelled to play India's national anthem before screenings, although this commandment was eventually mercifully rescinded by the Supreme Court. Other manoeuvres have been geared towards Modi's specific brand of Hindu nationalism, including the renaming of cities, streets and stations with Muslim names, and draconian laws protecting cows, sacred to Modi's core constituency of voters, never entirely persuaded of the idea of India as a secular yet multi-faith nation. It would be unwise to expect any abatement of such grandstanding, not with elections imminent in India and opinion polls suggesting that the National Democratic Alliance coalition led by Modi's Bharatiya Janata Party might be struggling to keep its majority in Parliament. And certainly not, sadly and dangerously, while tensions with neighbouring Pakistan remain as high as they are following recent clashes in and above Kashmir.
Wing Commander Abhinandan has just been handed over to us.
Not all sentiment inflamed by official responses to such events can be guaranteed to be as harmless as the new handlebar moustache craze inspired by the splendid facial topiary of Wing Commander Abhinandan Vardhman of the Indian Air Force, whose MiG-21 jet was shot down last week and who became a national hero upon his release by Pakistan. The trouble with nativist nationalism is that because it is irrational, it is also ultimately ungovernable. It can only be hoped that Modi and India and the region do not end up learning this lesson the hard way. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.